Do you love freedom? Do you love being clean? Then you'll love Hero Soap Company, made in the USA. Chemical and fragrance free. A portion of each purchase donated to veteran and first responder charities. Initial subscription purchase is matched bar for bar and sent overseas to deploy troops. Let freedom clean. Hero Soap Company.
Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Bruce Olof Solheim. Before I bring him on, just a couple of announcements. I'm still on a little road trip for another week or so. I'm still doing as many shows as I possibly can while I'm on the road. I should be back, like I said, sometime next week, and we'll get back to our regularly scheduled shows. You can always get new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Go check out Rockfin. That's where you get our premium content. You also get our regular shows, and best of all the amazing content from every creator that's on Rockfin. Check out all the podcasts that we are featuring on the Forbidden Knowledge Network. You get those at our website, forbiddenknowledge.news. We've got some amazing creators on there. And follow us on Facebook. Those links are all in the description. Tonight, I want to welcome back to the show Bruce Olof Solheim. He earned his PhD in history from Bowling Green State University in 1993. He is a distinguished professor of history at Citrus College in Glendora, California. He has published 12 books and has written 10 plays, six of which have been produced. He has published a trilogy of nonfiction paranormal books, Timeless, Timeless Deja Vu, and Timeless Trinity. He has also published two comic books featuring an alien hybrid character named Snark, and will publish a new comic book called Dr. Jekyll Alien Hunter in 2022. Bruce, welcome back. How are you doing tonight?
I'm glad to be back. I'm doing fine, and I'm glad to be on your show again.
Yes, man. Always look forward to our conversations. Always a great time when you come on. And you're always working on something interesting. You've got interesting books and projects. And we're also living in really fascinating times and witnessing extremely rapid changes in people's perception of metaphysical things and consciousness and what could lie beyond the spectrum of our vision. And I find it really interesting witnessing the shifts that we're seeing in real time. Mm-hmm. And I really want to talk a little bit about that as well tonight. Is this something that you're noticing as well, this kind of massive shift in people's perception and consciousness, not only about things that they've been lied to by, you know, our government, but just everything, really, the nature of reality, you know?
Yes. Yeah. All my sources are telling me it's this leap of consciousness that we're all being invited to do. Some people are doing it and other people are resisting, which is really my definition of history, which is forces of change and forces against change over time. And we are having a lot of forces of change. But anytime there's that going on, you're going to have pushback too. So, you know, we got some turmoil going on.
Sorry about that. I was muted. Yeah, it definitely seems that we've got two different timelines that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. One where a lot of people are experiencing a lot of fear and a lot of pressure to do certain things with their body. And we got another timeline where people are just kind of going about their lives and acting as if every day is just another day. And they're in a much better existence than the previous timeline that I mentioned. And I'm wondering if you're also seeing this as well, kind of like half of the population is advancing in spiritual consciousness, and the other half is kind of declining and going in opposite direction. And I'm hoping that we have more of these people on the uprising of consciousness, but I'm wondering if you're also seeing this as well.
Yeah, and that's a byproduct of some of these forces that are driving us. You know, I think there are I'll use the word hyperdimensionals, which includes a lot of different things, including aliens and spirits and so forth. There are those that are pushing us and nudging us into this positive timeline. And then there are those who would prefer to see chaos and just anguish. And so I think there's a clear choice to be made, but that it's just like, I think of Star Wars. I hate to be overly simplistic, but you know, you can choose the dark side, and you can get things done pretty quickly, but right. There's a terrible price to be paid. And then those that want to do good are facing all kinds of challenges. My friend David Wilson, who was my writing mentor, he just died in July, on July 6th. He was a Vietnam vet, wonderful writer, and a retired reference librarian. So you always like to make friends with reference librarians. But he always said, no good deed goes unpunished. You know, and I always disagreed. I said, no, that can't just be. It seems like every day, if you try to do good, there's going to be people aligning against you. And they're, I don't even know if they know what's driving them sometimes. I hear people say stuff, say mean things, and I'm wondering, I don't even think they believe it themselves, but they're just being pushed in a direction. But luckily there is an equal number, maybe a few more people that are assuming responsibility for their own actions and for their own leap of consciousness, and are going along but it's a harder path in the long run. It's the better path, but in the short run, it seems harder because it's very frustrating. So right.
Now, go ahead.
Where were you going? And even people who are, like-minded will fall off and you don't even know when that's somebody that you thought, oh, okay, they kind of get this whole thing and we're friends. And all of a sudden they lose their nerve and then they're off the rail, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you've experienced that too. And a lot of people I know have.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it's due to fear at this time.
Yes. Fear is the greatest motivating factor of humankind, you know?
Now you've actually made contact with, I guess you can best describe it as an interdimensional entity that's actually given you insights and information into some of the events and occurrences that are happening now and what could possibly going into the future. Yeah. Now, for the audience that may not be familiar with ANZAR, this entity, could you just give a brief overview of how ANZAR came into your life?
Yeah, he's been... as I've figured out everything that's happened in my life, he goes back to when I was, 6 years old, I think was my first encounter. And he has been there at crisis points. Like at that point, he rescued me from a child molester of all things.
Right.
But he has been with me in my life, but I didn't really know who he was or the significance of it because I've had this paranormal life and so many bizarre things have happened. And it was just recently that I decided to put it all together in 2016 when a friend of mine that I grew up with, also Norwegian American, he died and he came to me in a vision and told me it was time to tell my stories. So that kind of gave me the bravery to go back and put all this together and not be afraid to be on a show like yours or other shows and write books about my paranormal experiences. So ANZAR, to make a long story short, has been with me the whole time. The best description is an ancient alien mystic. And he calls himself Anzar the Progenitor, which is the first, the one that got it started. And he tells me that he was there. Well, he's in the spirit world now. He doesn't like come over to the house and have coffee or something, you know. And yeah. He was there when human beings really became who we are today, you know, when we were, as he says, received special processing and it could be genetic splicing, genetic mutation, whatever it was that caused us to branch off and become who we are. And so he was the first, he was the first contact. So he's an ancient being. And so I've been in contact with him on a regular basis through my spirit walks for the last, I would say, 4 years, 3.5 years. And I take these spirit walks where I get into a meditative state while I'm walking in a beautiful place here in the San Gabriel Mountains, up towards the San Gabriel Mountains. And I communicate with him, and I record everything that I hear him telling me, him and others. There are others I talk to as well. And then when I come home, I transcribe it. So all those transcriptions and all the, research that I've done about this kind of stuff was in my book, Anzar, the Progenitor, which came out earlier this year. And so anyway, that's who he is. He's very helpful, as you said. I hate to say predictions. It's more like preparations, because he gives me an idea of where things might go. And I'm advised, to make certain preparations and share information with those that are willing to listen. Unfortunately, sometimes people will hear it and they'll freak out and think, you know, there's something wrong with me, or think that I'm, you know, trying to make bad things happen. And I, you know, because when I, you know, a lot of stuff is not so good that he has said to prepare for. Yeah. Like COVID, for instance, mm-hmm. What happened on January 6th. That morning I had a dream about what was going to happen that day. It was kind of symbolic, but it was very close to what actually happened. And I don't get into the political debate of, you know, was it really an insurrection? Was it this? Whatever. It has caused a rift to grow even wider between people here in our country, and not just in our country, but around the world. For and sure. That rift is growing. That division is growing. So, but anyway, that's who he is, and how I communicate with him through these spirit walks, which are meditative walks. And he's very helpful to me, and I do share with people, but I'm kind of careful. You know, sometimes I was sharing, I did a couple of live spirit walks on Facebook. I thought that would be cool. But man, it was just, as you know, doing your show, you're going to get some people who are really, okay, that's really helpful. Thank you. That's cool. And other people who think, you know, I'm communicating with the devil or something.
Yeah.
You know? So you have to be careful, and it causes hysteria. So I decided not to do those live things anymore, because, you know, anyway.
Now, would you consider Anzar a type of spirit guide for yourself?
He is in that he says that we are connected. I asked him once, I said, how do I classify? I know you told me you're an ancient alien mystic, but, you know, do I call you an extraterrestrial? Do I call you an alien? And he has a great sense of humor, and he says, he said, you can call me a long lost relative. So that's what he told me.
That's interesting.
But he is not, you know, of Earth, although he contacted Earth.
Do you think that you're connected in some way, maybe like an even ancient celestial ancestor through DNA, or, you know, something like along those lines?
Yeah, I think so. And I say that with humility, because I don't want people listening to think, oh, he thinks he's some kind of special person or whatever. I think we all have connections that some are aware of and some are maybe not aware of. And I just, since I was a little kid, I've had the luck, or maybe bad luck, good luck, whatever, to be able to talk to spirits and alien entities and hyperdimensionals. And it's part of my everyday life. So it's both a blessing and a curse, depending on, you know, how you approach it. But what I've learned the last 4 years since, you know, I started publishing those books was that I've learned how to manage it better, because my whole life has been paranormal, but it was random, frequent, but random. And I didn't have much control or management of it. And then I couldn't talk about it with people because, you know, I was in industries that you can't talk openly about this. I mean, I was in the military. I was a pilot. Before I was a helicopter pilot, I was a jail guard in the military. I worked at Boeing as a defense contractor at a top secret clearance, you know, working on black box projects. You can't talk about this stuff there. You're going to lose your clearance. You'll lose your job. And then in academics, you know, in academe, it's very dicey to start talking about, you know, the fact that I talk to dead people and, you know, aliens and have been, you know, abducted. And I was afraid people would I would get fired, lose my tenure. Students would laugh at me. My colleagues would abandon me. But none of that has happened. And I think none of it's happened because of this shift that you talked about. I just hit it at the right time. Maybe it would have been too early before. I mean, I tried earlier. I tried with a colleague or two, you know, talking about it. And they were just like, so they were freaked out. So I said, oh, never mind. I'm just kidding. You know? So,
yeah.
So the timing is right. So you're very correct in that this shift has taken place.
Yeah, I find that a lot of people in this kind of spectrum, in this community of paranormal or UFO research, or even just, you know, looking into alternative history or conspiracies, mm-hmm. right now, they are thriving. Like, you know, shows like mine are taking off, people like yourself who are writing these types of books mm-hmm. and doing this research. It's all really, people want to are mm-hmm. thirsty for this stuff right now. And it's really fascinating to see, every day the change. Changes and I think that it's exponentially growing. I think that the media is trying to hide how many people are really looking into, you know, right. alternative viewpoints, because they don't want that. But I think a lot more people than they're letting on are actually looking at this stuff than they really, really want to let on. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And just, you know, like if you talk about the media or you talk about the entertainment industry, I mean, you know, I belong to this group called the Close Encounter Resource Organization, and you probably know Yvonne Smith. She's the head of it, and she's she's a hypnotherapist, right? And does regression therapy and for abductees and so forth. And she is getting offers like every week from, you know, major networks. You know, they just sent one to us yesterday from the Travel Channel again, which I was on the Travel Channel on September 6th. I was on a show called Alien Encounters Declassified. And I was on another show too with Demi Lovato, but they cut my part out. So
Demi Lovato. Oh no.
They show me in the background just like some stooge walking by, you know.
Oh no. That's awesome.
But other than that, I had a great interview, and then the guy, the producer, said, "Oh man, that's really cool." And then it got cut. He did, to his credit, he did email me when the show aired, he apologized. He said, "I'm sorry, your part got cut out." And I mean, I know how show business is, you know.
Yeah.
If you're not young and beautiful, you know, they don't want you. They don't want some grizzled old professor on there unless, you know, there's something very shocking. And I'm not a shocking kind of person, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
All the information is kind of shocking. I don't deliver it with, you know, some kind of flourishes and, you know, that type of thing.
Exactly.
So, you know, that doesn't play well for ratings, apparently. So, but they were very nice, and it was an interesting experience nonetheless. But yeah, I mean, these opportunities are coming up. And you know, and the funny thing is, you know, that force against, you know, I don't necessarily like to read the critics, but like my Anzar book, I don't know who these people are. There's some people that gave me some really bad reviews. First of all, I don't think they read the book, and it's almost like they're working for somebody to discredit anybody, you know, whether it's my friend Terry Lovelace.
You know, sometimes I think these are just AIs that are AI bots that are putting this stuff out there, you know, to help discredit people. It's so ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. And the you know, and some of the things are really weird. Like there was some critic that of the Ansar book, and it was, it said, this book was so boring, and but he's a really nice guy and he means well, you know, thinking, okay, that, and then the name of the person, the reviewer, was like Mistress something, you know, and I'm thinking, use your real name, you know, what, you know, anyway, they hide behind whether they're a bot or, you know, troll or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's easy to hide like that on the internet for sure.
Yeah, so I, you know, and I know you know this stuff, but see, that's the pushback for people that are afraid, because they probably know the reason they're so afraid is because they know that what they're dealing with is true, but they don't want to acknowledge it. So for whatever reason.
Oh yeah, just like you were saying, fear is a huge driving factor for cognitive dissonance and keeping people from, you know, looking into to things that they really should. And I think it keeps people from living their true lives. And it's, I think it's one of the main problems with our society of people not flourishing and thriving is due to fear.
And it happens in the government too. Like what's going on with this? They're going to have this office, you know, in the DOD, that's going to investigate, you know, UAPs, what we used to call UFOs, but they're not going to have a set budget, line item budget. They're not going to have any authority. They're not. So I heard an interview with Christopher Mellon the other day and Lou Elizondo, and they were saying that basically they're just going to bury it again for the next 70 years. And it's very unfortunate, but it's not surprising because they're also driven by fear. You know, if they say the aliens are real, they're feeling like, you know, they probably, oh, well, I'll lose my government position. I'm not going to win the next election. I mean, can you imagine a debate and it comes up, you know, you believe in aliens. Can you talk? And then the, you know, the audience is laughing that the other person, I just won this election, you know. So I know that fear is driving that too. And then they make it they're looking through the wrong lens. And I think you know what I mean. If you look at the documents that have come out, they're always talking about threat. Threat is the thing they're talking about, and they're missing the point because they're looking through the wrong lens. And when you look through the wrong lens, you're not going to see it clearly what's going on, and they're looking at it too narrowly. Although there is a threat, I think, from hyperdimensionals or aliens or extraterrestrials, certain groups or whatever. There is also a great promise and a great opportunity. And I try to focus on the positive, but I'm also aware that there is the negative aspect too. And so, you can't go into blinders on, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole like government and mainstream disclosure thing has been so really disgusting for me because, you know, they went at it hard for a little while and then they reeled it back. And then, you know, like you said, they're going to bury it for however long. And then we have, you know, whenever they were trying to portray it as a threat, we had these higher level members of Congress and senators saying that they think it's demonic and they think it's demons. Mm-hmm. And well, why, if you think it's something at all, isn't it something to look at, you know, at least? Yeah. Are we just going to leave it alone and say, okay, demons are flying around in the skies, oh well? Yeah. You know, if it's something paranormal, I you know, we should, we should at least want to know about it, right? You know, or we'll just not know about it. I don't know. I think it's disgusting what they're doing if they're just going to bury it again for years, you know.
Well, here's the problem. I have a friend of mine who's in the he's former FBI. You know, when you say former FBI, it's always cracks me up because once FBI, always FBI. Once CIA, always CIA. You know, once you're in the intelligence community. But he told me, he said, part of the problem is exactly what we're talking about. They're looking at it through the wrong lens. They're trying to figure out how can they strap a bomb to this technology. That's what they're trying to figure out to gain a strategic advantage. And of course, we're not the only ones thinking that way. You know, it's not like we're the bad guys. We think just like every other human government. They're probably thinking the same thing. How can we use this for our own strategic advantage? But this is where we come back to the wisdom of my friend Ansar. He says that alien technology or hyperdimensional technology is for the benefit of all. not the strategic advantage of the few. And that's where they're missing the boat. They're missing the point. It really takes cooperation, which is really hard to do. I mean, it is really hard to do. Maybe it'll take a more obvious threat, or maybe even some other kind of a threat, for people to finally get together and say, okay, we have to, you know, we have to deal with this. And, you know, it's like the thing, I was in the military, and they say, the old saying, there's no atheists in the foxhole. You know, everybody works together. You're all friends, black, white, yellow, red, whoever you are. All those things disappear when you're under a threat scenario.
Oh, yeah.
And then when the conflict is over, the battle is over, they go back to the rear, and then they get into their fights and, you know, do their stuff. But under fire, they're not like that. So what we need to learn to do is to cooperate and be kind to each other, you know, at all times, not just when we're under threat. And but anyway, that it reminds me of the story of the Kon-Tiki. You know, I'm Norwegian, so I'm proud of a lot of things. So Thor Heyerdahl sailed across the South Pacific from Peru in a balsa wood raft. In 1949, I think it was, and with people from different nationalities, and they all had disagreements. You know, they're all different viewpoints. He said, but all of that disappeared when they were trying to survive on the Pacific Ocean in this raft, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that it was really a micro example of what we need to do collectively. So anyway.
Yeah, no, that's a really great point. Do you think that there is going to be possibly an event, or just maybe even we'll just keep shifting in consciousness to where we'll be able to make contact ourselves, and we won't have to get government approval, or, you know, the government tell us that these entities exist. It'll be something that's known, because, you know, it seems like the ancients just knew. The ancients had contact. This didn't, you know, it wasn't, an evil demonic thing, unless you're contacting evil demonic entities. I think it's all a tool in how you're using it, you know, just like magic, just like anything else in this world, you know, it's how you're using what your intentions are behind it is what you're going to make contact with. So do you think that maybe sometime in the near future, we're just, you know, start making contact ourselves, and it'll just be inevitable that these beings are there and part of our reality?
You know, it could be that it's not going to be as dramatic as people think. Maybe this slow process, you know, I think it's this leap of consciousness has already taken place. So it's just going to become organic. You know, that people, oh, yeah, aliens, okay, hyperdimensionals, okay, my dead relatives, you know, they've always been there, you know. And it comes back to your point about, you know, this disclosure process, which that is other-directed. It's not inner-directed. What Ansar has told me is that this is about revelation, personal revelation, to reveal the truth yourself. You are going to feel that, you know, that's a revelation. If you have a revelation, it's a understanding, right? Rather than a disclosure is where somebody else in authority is telling you what the truth is. Mm-hmm. Well, we already know what the truth is. We've suspected it for a very long time. Some people more than others. Other people are hiding. Some people just don't want to know. They just want to, you know, compartmentalize and forget about it. But eventually it's going to be so accepted. And it's really not that different than what ancient people experienced, you know, because they were accepting of, you know, what the Native Americans called the Star Brothers, you know, the Star People. Mm-hmm. You know, that was part of their everyday life. You know, animals talked, they spoke to their ancestors. You know, it was just accepted, and maybe that slowly that'll happen to where it's not like a light switch turned on and oh, everything is, you know, all of a sudden all your relatives appear, you know. It's just going to happen more slowly, more organically through this personal revelation. So I think you're very right. If we sit around and just wait for the government to tell us the truth, we're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, and, for sure.
And every time I hear, I don't care which political party they are, when they're talking, I'm thinking that, you know, I see what they're doing. You know, they're, I don't even think they believe it themselves sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
It reminds me of remember Jon Stewart, who used to have that Comedy Central show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's now Trevor somebody, I think. I can't remember his name.
The anyway. Daily Show or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And one time he was on that show. It used to be they had a conservative guy and a liberal guy.
Yeah.
On CNN, that. I think. I think it was on CNN. Anyway, he appeared on that show and they thought he was going to be funny and everything. And he wasn't. He wasn't funny at all. In fact, he was attacking them and saying, why are you hurting us this way? Why are you doing this division? Why are you artificially trying to create, you know, these polar opposites? Mm-hmm. And it was, I thought it was quite, it wasn't funny. It was very insightful. He's a smart guy. You know, Jon Stewart's a pretty smart guy.
Yeah.
And I just think it's one of my favorite things I've ever seen on a news show. It was the most truthful thing because the two guys didn't know what to do. They were both like dumbfounded. It's like, wait a second, you're supposed to be funny.
And he said, you take away the script from these guys, they're lost.
Yeah. And he said, I'm not your performing monkey here. I am a person, you know. And I thought, wow, that is revelation. You know, that is what revelation is like.
Now, speaking of revelation, I want to get into some of the information that you've received from Anzar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now, no matter how much it may, you know, make people butthurt or affect people or rub people the wrong way, I still think that people should hear this information and decipher it for themselves, you know? Yeah. Just because you're closed-minded doesn't mean that the information isn't real and what you're experiencing is not true. And I think we need to get past that as a society in order to kind of transcend what we're just talking about and getting to the next stage of our evolution. So I'd love to hear some of the most profound information about what's happening now and what could be our possible future that you've received from Anzar.
Well, I'll tell you the most recent stuff he's told me. He told me that there's going to be what he called a left-wing insurrection. Mm. Now, what's interesting,
that
he told me,
doesn't sound good.
No, it's not good. It's not good at all. But it makes sense when you think about it. It makes sense because you got this division and, you know, for us in the United States, you know, I'm very most concerned about the United States because this is where I live and where my family is, except I have a lot of family in Norway too. So I am concerned about Europe and Russia and everything, but anyway, yeah, what he calls a left-wing insurrection and there are groups that are egging on like some kind of a race war, you know, and they're being helped by those entities that are not here to help us, you know? So I think people are smart. Most people are in the middle, you know, they're just kind of stuck in the middle and they might be afraid to say something either way. You know, I don't want to say this because maybe some ultra conservative guy will get mad at me and make my life difficult, or some ultra left wing guy will say something and make my life miserable. So I'm just going to kind of not say too much. Right. And I think there's a lot of people in that boat. But unfortunately, that means that the only people that are saying anything are the extremists.
Yes.
And the extremists want chaos. Like I teach my students, I said, you can never make an extremist happy, even if you give them what they want, because that's not enough. It's not because they want to still be extreme. So if you give them what they want, it's kind of like in World War II, when we gave Hitler what he wanted, he just took more. He was never satisfied.
Right.
You know, they tried to give him Czechoslovakia. He then took Poland. He took, you know, half of Europe, you know. He just was in half of Russia. So before he was actually pushed back. So you just can't make extremists happy. So you have to realize that the center is where there's a lot of decent, hardworking people who just want to live their lives and, you know, have peace and prosperity and comfort, you know, and that kind of thing. That is what is necessary. Part of that revelation will be people realizing that the voices that are being heard are not necessarily the ones that should be heard. In fact, they shouldn't, you know, a lot of them shouldn't be. But, you know, in a free society, you know, people are free to do you know, say terrible things and, you know, and get away with it, unfortunately. So anyway, that's something. The other thing interesting he said recently, you remember Oumuamua?
Yeah.
The interstellar object. You've probably done shows about that and stuff.
Yeah, the strange interstellar object that seemed to be on a track and have something propelling it, you know?
Yeah, apparently, according to ANSAR, we're not done with it yet. It's I don't know if it's coming back or if we are in communication or there's some kind of, you know, messages that are going to be revealed. And that's, I haven't got all the details of it, but there's something involving that that's coming up as well. And anyway, those are just some of the recent things that he's been telling me. In the past, he did warned me about January 6th. Like I said, he warned me about that. He warned me about COVID a year before it happened. He said that there would be a series of calamities that would impact the entire world and that millions of people would die. And that was a year before. That was in 2019, you know, he told me this. And he didn't say COVID. He didn't say a pandemic. But, you know, the idea was that you need to be prepared.
Right.
So my wife and I were very prepared. Yeah, very prepared. You know, when we had all those shortages, we still have shortages now, but acute shortages at the beginning there. My wife and I already had stocked up, you know, not at the last moment. We weren't like hoarders at the last moment. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, in that year before, we had kind of stocked up. I bought a generator, you know, things that I hadn't really done before. And as ANSAR always says, he said, predictions can be wrong, but preparations are never wrong.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you think that we're still have yet to see some of these calamities that he's speaking of?
Yeah, I think, you know, the forces that are working against the common decency are still quite strong and haven't been driven out yet or driven under or exposed fully. So there are still, you know, like I said, I think a lot of the human element to that, these people are being driven by forces they don't understand at all. You know, whether it's a school shooter or, you know, prominent political officials, you know, being very corrupt, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, that's just individuals that are, you know, abnormal, you know, behavior or whatever. But I know enough about human nature. I worked in a prison. I worked in a maximum security prison. And I noticed that every murderer, you know, and especially the mass murderers that I guarded, all of them had demonic tattoos, every single one of them. Now, I noticed you have a tattoo, but I'm not going to say anything bad about
that. This is Toth. This is Toth.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's nice.
Yeah.
And so I'm not against tattoos at all, but there are tattoos that are not good, you know?
Yeah, and, I agree.
And so these, I noticed every one of them had demonic tattoos. And so I saw a lot of murderers. I even guarded the guy on death row. I mean, so every one of them had a demonic tattoo. So they are not just doing things that are bad because they came up with the idea. The son of Sam, right? The dog told him that he was to kill these people. Well, the you know, something speaking through the dog, which was a demonic entity, I'm sure, told him to do those things. And I asked a psychiatrist. I know I'm kind of circuitous here, but anyway.
This is super interesting because I want to talk a little bit about this too.
There was a psychiatrist, a friend of mine, and I told him, I said, is it possible that people who are delusional, people who are schizophrenic, they could just be very psychic and they're hearing voices, you know, and they're talking to people, they're talking to entities, but they can't decipher it. And they've lost track of the everyday reality, and now they're living in that world, which is totally, you know, different than what you and I are experiencing right now. Yeah. I said, what if they're just really, really psychic, and they don't know how to get back? And he looked at me, and he said, that's a horrible thought. He said, I don't know. That it's interesting. he never thought of it that way, you know, because his idea is, oh, this patient needs this medication. It's very linear thinking, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Dr. Tom Zinser, but no. I was actually listening to a show with him earlier today, actually. And he was, mm-hmm. he was talking about this very thing. He does hypnosis mm-hmm. and he believes that these multiple personalities are actual spiritual entities that yeah. can actually take over a person's consciousness.
Yes.
And it can happen many ways, you know, trauma, drug abuse, hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And I wonder these psychopaths that are in charge, you know, I mm-hmm. could never think of a human being that I know that could be that evil to mm-hmm. be putting forth some of the agendas that's coming to fruition right now. So mm-hmm. it's hard for me to put myself in that state of mind because I mm-hmm. couldn't imagine being that evil or heartless or cruel. And it makes me think, you know, they have to be either other entities whispering in their ear or taking control of them, or they're not human themselves. You know, I can't yeah. imagine that any type of human being that evil, although, you know, some humans are pretty crappy.
Yeah, that's true. And I've dealt with, I'll tell you this one mass murderer that I guarded in Minnesota, the maximum security prison. I had to do a strip search, and that's a horrible thing to have to do. But anyway, I was doing a strip search of him, and he looked at me and he said, "You don't know who I am, do you?" And I said, "No." And he said, I killed probably 20 people. I killed my whole family. I killed maybe 24 people. And he said, "I don't care." You know, he said, "I could kill you and it wouldn't mean anything to me." And I looked in his eyes and there was nothing there, Chris. There was nothing in his, you know, how you and I look at each other, you look at your friends or your loved ones.
Yeah.
There's human connection, a spark in there,
yeah.
humanity, your connection to them. He had nothing. Wow. It was like a deep, dark well that you could not, there was no, and it's not just the color of the eyes. It's you can, there's nothing there. And you know, I mean, we've all heard about demonic possession and that kind of stuff. But it's not just, demonic possession. There's other kinds of possession as well. And I think they can enter into people and cause them to do these things. And maybe they have a proclivity. Maybe they're kind of not healthy in other ways already, but then they, you know, get spurred on. And anyway, that was my experience. It was very, very frightening. Of course, as a guard, you can't show any fear, because as soon as you show fear, they will kill you, because they're just waiting, because they want you to be afraid. And if you don't show fear, then they'll find somebody else who is. It's just like predators. That's, you know, what they want. That causes their predatory instinct. You know, when you run away or you get afraid, it just makes them go after you more. So I pretended I wasn't afraid. But it was quite frightening. So,
yeah. And I'm wondering, do you think at these higher levels that it possibly could be that these bloodline families have occult practices that they're involved with, and mm-hmm. for, you know, centuries of being involved with these deep, dark occult practices, they could have opened themselves up to, you know, a generational entity possession or something like that,
yeah.
you know?
I think you're right. It's, you know, just like, well, Yvonne talks about, I think in her next book, she's going to talk about how, you know, this is a different subject, but, you know, the family connection with abduction, you know, that it tends to stick in families.
Yes,
so
that's super interesting.
And I think it's also, you know, when we're talking about hyperdimensional beings in other dimensions that encroach upon us, whether it's an alien abduction or a demonic possession. You know, the process is kind of the same. And of course, the results can be quite devastating for the person if you can't put it into perspective or you can't get rid of the attachment. And you know, there's possession and then there's attachment. A possession is where you have lost control. And attachment is just an impediment. So I've had attachments before because I wasn't careful in, opening up to the other world. And didn't do enough protection and got some attachments. I think maybe on one of your shows I talked about when I was kind of auditioning for this producer, and he sent me to Chicago to these different.
Oh yes, I remember this.
Yeah, these different locations, you know, haunted locations or paranormal locations. And just long story short, I got attachments from the site of the murder hotel, Dr. H.H. Holmes, America's first mass murderer.
Yeah.
Who obviously was possessed. You know, he was very, you know, and that entity is still surviving in that location. And I didn't know what it was. And I got attacked physically, spiritually, and had attachments, not a possession, but attachments that people who were fellow psychics, you know, psychic people were aware of it without even knowing the story of what had just happened to me. They said, dude, you know, you got some attachments. What is going on? It's like the whole, it was dragging me down. And the only thing I can say is that I felt like I was heavy, like it was heavy and I couldn't quite get going, you know, not so much physically, but, you know, spiritually. And so I had to get rid of those attachments. And that can happen to anybody, even if you don't open up these doors, if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're sensitive, you know, this can happen, especially if you're not protected. That's why when somebody says, oh, yeah, well, there's a haunted house, we think there's a demon in there, you should go in and explore. No, I'm not going in there.
Yeah.
I know what can happen. I know I'm sensitive to this stuff and all the protection in the world. You're going to be battle scarred at the very least coming out of there. So is there a pressing need to go in there? If there isn't, forget it.
Yeah. Well, what do you think is occurring at places like Skinwalker Ranch and the Uintah Basin, Blind Frog Ranch, and just these places of high energy and high strangeness, lots of paranormal activity, UFO sightings, just all this stuff concentrated in these areas. And, mm-hmm. I've heard theories is because of the high amount of, you know, electromagnetic energy or just mm-hmm. the different fluctuations of electromagnetism in that area is kind of opening up like portals and doorways to different dimensions. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I think you're right. I think, you know, what's the old saying, the path of least resistance, mm-hmm. you know, that's like when just a small example, but when I go out to, you know, do my spirit walks, there are a lot of entities that are attracted to me, you know, spiritually. They want to talk to me. And that's why I have to have protection. I have, you know, spirit guides that help me, kind of like bouncers at the door of a popular club or something, yeah. You know. But they're attracted to you because they know they can talk to you. You know, they're not going to waste time with some guy who doesn't believe in anything, you know, acknowledges the other worlds or whatever. They're not going to waste their time with him. They're going to be attracted to this person that they can talk to. And it's not just the person, it's also the location. So like for me, there's a certain place I walk. It's an ancient medicine road for Native Americans. At least that's what I think it is, going up into the mountains. There's a wash there. So, you know, wherever there's a wash, there at one time was running water in the ancient times. And that's where Native Americans would, you know, go. And so it's easier to make the connection there. A place like Skinwalker Ranch probably has a confluence of these different portals or connection points that make it, it's kind of like it's the veil is much thinner there. So it's so much easier. So it attracts everything in that quantum world, that spirit world, the alien world. You know, it's all happening there. That just kind of proves my theory that the alien world, the spirit world, and the quantum world are all the same thing, you know, because they all go there because that's the path of least resistance. Because it takes a lot for them to contact us and it takes a lot for us to contact them. So naturally you'd want to go to a spot where it's easier to make that connection. So yeah, that's my theory. I think that's what's going on.
And it's also interesting. I was talking to a couple of different guests about this, that, whenever there's UFO sightings or contact experiences or someone is abducted, but mainly from the power or the energy that's emitted from a UFO encounter, that paranormal activity will soon follow or mm-hmm. occur around the same time as a UFO sighting. And it's theorized mm-hmm. that it's because the massive amount of energy that's being produced mm-hmm. to kind of slip into this dimension
yep.
or pop in and out of our reality. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's like a leak. you know, it's like, you know, like you get a leak in a dam or in your blow up swimming pool in the backyard, you know, it's going to start pouring through there. It's like a rip in time, a rip in dimensions, interdimensional rip, you know, and it allows this to happen. And whether it's, you know, an alien encounter or a ghost encounter or whatever, it just, and once they pour through, then it's going to establish a kind of a record there, you know, or a like a roadmap for others, you know, in that realm to say, oh, look at that. Okay, let's swoop down and go through that rip in time right there.
Yeah.
In the time-space continuum. And it just naturally attracts them. And I think you're right.
Now I want to talk about the new comic that you're working on to close out. But first I want to find out if Anzar believes that there's hope after these periods of, you know, that we may go through some tough times and cataclysms, that we're going to rise out of the ashes and things may be a better reality when this is finished.
Yeah. So this leap of consciousness will lead to an era of reconversion. And what he means by that, this is what he's told me. He said, this leap of consciousness, when enough people have made that leap, it'll lead to an era of reconversion. And what that future looks like, and it's a very bright future. So there is hope at the end of this, you know, tumultuous time. And that's something we should hang on to, is that hope, is that the wisdom of the ancient people will be matched up to our science and technology and the technical know-how that will be bestowed from us, you know, once we realize that the extraterrestrials, whatever you want to call them, realize that we're worthy of it, we'll be able to match that together, and we'll be able to reconvert to who we are naturally as human beings, who we were supposed to always be, and how, you know, we've kind of lost our way. And so that era of reconversion will be wonderful. It'll, you know, like the old song, you know, peace will guide the planet, or that it's the age of Aquarius. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
The Fifth Dimension, I think, was the name of the band from the 60s, before your time. But anyway,
I've heard it, though. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure you've heard it. Yeah. So, yeah, I think there is hope. And, you know, talking about the comic books, there's a lot of reasons I'm doing the comic books. And the most important one is that it's a way that you can get information out without people having to, say, you know, because it's a fictional comic book, there, it's, as my friend David Wilson, my mentor, said, fiction is more true than nonfiction, because you can mask the what you really want to say and the reality behind fictional characters, but it is truth, you know. So my comic books have a lot of information in them that I've received from Anzar, but put in a comic book form for all ages too. It's not just for it's actually an all ages comic. I want to make sure that it's not just an adult comic and not just a kid's comic. It can be read at different levels. And so that's what I've been doing with Snark and Snark 1, Snark 2. But the next comic that's coming out next year, we're going through the stories right now with the artist, is called Dr. Jekyll Alien Hunter. And it's a female lead character. She's a professor, and she has inherited this job from her dad, who died, who is also a professor. And she is out there exploring our world and making connections, you know, extraterrestrial connections. And she's not a superhero. She's just a regular person, an academic, but, you know, so there's not, you know, she's not, it's not like, what was I thinking? Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, you know, this hot chick and a, you know, with guns blazing or whatever. She's an academic, but she's funny. She's smart, you know, and she has these encounters. So it's a lot like Snark in that there's humor, there's history, there's social issues that are dealt with, but not in not in a heavy-handed way. And there is, wisdom and enlightenment that has come from the source that you and your listeners now are aware of. So that's really the secret to it. And The artist I had for Snark is a guy who's been doing comics since the 1970s, Gary Dumm. He worked with on American Splendor with Harvey Pekar in the 70s. And anyway, so this for this comic, I wanted a female touch to the art, and I'm glad I did. You know, and Gary was too busy anyway, so he's going to work on Snark 3 in 2023. But anyway, I got a 19-year-old artist, a girl named Julia Kazanowska, and she is incredibly talented. And I'm glad I got her to do it now, because if the talent she has at 19, if I was approaching her when she's like 29, I wouldn't be able to afford her. You know, she's going to be a superstar. And right. I got her, you know, right now when she's just starting out, and she is very talented, and her style fits. I sent you some, you know, the front and back covers to the comic. Yeah, she's got a real sensibility. It's different than Gary, and it fits the subject matter. But it'll be filled with adventure, and it's all ages, and it's not all just made up. That's the truth behind it. There is stuff that's actually happened, and stuff I've been told that is within those stories. So
that's really cool,
and I dig it. I've always wanted to write comics, and I wanted to illustrate them too, but I'm not talented enough to put my illustrations out there. So that's why I seek the help of professional illustrators.
Yeah, that's really great. And it's coming out in 2022. Do you know?
Yeah, probably in the first, you know, maybe in early spring 2022, I'm going to say. Yeah, we should be done with it. So it's a graphic novel length. You know, it's longer than a comic book, shorter than a book. So it's kind of graphic novel length, awesome. Probably about 72 pages of great art, you know, and interesting stories.
Well, I'd definitely be looking forward to that. One more thing before I let you go. I know that you've had a couple of abduction experiences, mm-hmm. You know, very profound experiences. Have you had anything occur since the last time we spoke? Any other kind of strange, profound paranormal, anything besides Anzar's contact?
You know, I really haven't since the last time we spoke, but I'm mainly getting these downloads and this information, and have been, you know, I continue to take these walks and transcribe everything I'm told. So I haven't had anything, you know, very dramatic recently, other than, you know, this kind of information preparation for what might be happening and, you know, what might occur. So I haven't really had any of those experiences. I did ask Anzar and my other spirit guides to appear so that my wife Ginger could see them. And the other night they were trying to manifest it, and it just wasn't quite working, because, you know, it doesn't work every time, you know. So I want them to appear so I'll wake her up and say, see, this is what I'm telling you, because she trusts me. She believes in me. She supports me, but she's a very pragmatic person. And until she actually sees them, it's just going to be kind of like, well, it's his thing. But
right. I see this as such a personal thing. And I think it's more of a frequency perception type thing, you know?
Yeah. And I know the other night they were trying, there was kind of like, you could see kind of things trying to form, but it wasn't enough to wake her up and say, you know, and you just see these amorphous, you know, things, but it wasn't, you know, they weren't fully formed, and I want to wait until they're fully formed. So there's no doubt, you know, I mean, I've had those experiences where there's just no doubt, you know, this thing is fully formed, and you can't say, oh, well, that's just a dust cloud or a you know, a puff of pollen or something, you know, hitting the lights or something. No, this is, it's a real manifestation.
Wow. That's really cool. Well, Bruce, I want to thank you again for coming on such late notice tonight. This was an amazing conversation. If people want to find out more about you, get some of your books, what's the best way that they can do so?
Well, they can get the Anzar book and the Timeless Trilogy on Amazon. So just look me up, Bruce Solheim, you know, look up Timeless, look up Anzar, If you want to get more information, you can also look up Snark 1 and Snark 2. They're also on Amazon now. But you can also go to my website, BruceOlavSolheim.com. My middle name spelled O-L-A-V, BruceOlavSolheim.com. And you can see all the things that I'm doing, music, plays, books, everything.
Awesome. Bruce, thank you again so much. We are definitely going to have to talk to you again sometime in the future, hopefully after your book comes out.
Yeah, well, thank you, Chris. Anytime, just give me a call. I'm usually around.
Awesome. Well, have a great evening. And until next time, everyone, have a great night. And we'll talk again tomorrow.